This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. In the summer of 1897, long before Whitey Bulger pulled off his first heist, a group of New York kids found a headless torso, not in a topless bar, but wrapped in a package afloat in the East River. The cops said must be a prank by medical students, who often left fingers and limbs just for laughs in doorways and cigar boxes. But the next day, the lower torso and hips of that beheaded half-corpse washed up along the Harlem River, and the amputation wounds were clearly the work of an amateur driven by malice, not youthful mischief. Who cracked the case, and who scrambled facts, myths, and suspicion about it all through a boiling summer? The World, the Herald, and the Evening Journal. Paul Collins, our literary detective on Weekend Edition, who teaches at Portland State University, has written a book about what turned a summer murder into one of the first great newspaper wars. The murder of the century, the Gilded Age crime that scandalized a city and sparked the tabloid wars. Paul Collins joins us from Portland. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's good to be here.
So what are all the elements that, in addition to a ghastly crime, what fueled this great newspaper war?
Well, it was a crime that came along just at the point, really, when William Randolph Hearst was actually launching an evening edition of his newspaper and really trying to go head-to-head with the other great news baron of New York, which was Joseph Pulitzer and his New York World. And so, in a way, when this case came along, Hearst decided if the other newspapers weren't going to solve it and if the police weren't going to solve it, he would.
Now, in fact, it was a reporter at The World, Ned Brown, who saw something on the headless torso that got him thinking. He noticed an anomaly.
Yeah, he noticed that this was a very muscular body, but the hands seemed very smooth. So it didn't seem like someone who was doing what one would usually associate with manual labor. He eventually realized that where he had seen that was actually in the bathhouses in New York with the masseurs, who really, you know, had to put a lot of physical effort in, but they kept their skin quite soft. And he started asking around at some of the bathhouses if any of their employees were missing.
Let's throw some names into it. Willie Guldensub turned out to be the headless masseur, arrested and charged with contributing to his demise were Augusta Knack, who was a midwife who happened to be his lover, and Martin Thorne, a rival for Augusta's affections. What was driving the investigation, the police or the newspaper war?
It was very much the newspaper war, because initially the police, they really didn't want to have to deal with it because it didn't look like a case that could be solved very readily, for one thing. And also, the police had just come off really a whole series of scandals, and they didn't need another headache. So Hearst was really the prime mover on this. Pretty much the day after the first part of the body was found, he had grapplers out on the East River dragging the river. He created what he called the Murder Squad. It was a group of reporters. He not only charged with finding clues, but if necessary, arresting people. And in fact, the first arrest in the case was basically attempted by two Hearst reporters who jumped onto a moving carriage on 9th Avenue.
Tell us about Hearst's wrecking crew, as they were called.
It had kind of, I think, been the practice for a lot of papers to send a reporter or two over when a story was breaking. And what Hearst figured out was if you sent 10, 20 people onto the scene, if you had artists there, if you had people interviewing members of the crowd, families, any expert that they could grab, you could not only generate one big story, you could generate five or six and spread them across the entire front page. And so he really pioneered this approach of blitzing a story. And that's what the wrecking crew was. It was this mob of reporters that would pour out anytime they got word that something big was happening.
It's now what respectable news organizations call team reporting.
That's right.
You know, William Randolph Hearst, who owned the Journal, and Joseph Pulitzer, who ran the World, are often considered to be just about as different as Bill O'Reilly and Arianna Huffington. But were they really?
You know, it's funny. In a way, Hearst really didn't invent much in terms of his approach to reporting, because really what Pulitzer figured out was that news could be entertaining. Instead of running lots of stories on the latest tariff bill or the doings of local worthies, he would run things about celebrities, about sports, about crime. And he put in things like a comic section. I think the reason we view them a bit differently today is that Pulitzer came to regret somewhat what he had helped create.
Was there a lot the newspapers got wrong?
What surprised me in looking through it was how much they got right. That said, they were not above doing things like manufacturing evidence. At one point in the late summer, around August of 1897, when the case started to drag a little bit, people in Woodside, basically the neighborhood of Queens where a lot of this unfolded, started finding things like derby hats with bullet holes in them and daggers, things that appeared to be clues to the crime, except they were finding them in areas that people had combed over hundreds of times already. And it emerged that someone had been paying employees of the local water company $1 a clue to plant clues around. Most people had just two guesses as to who that was. It was probably either the World or the Journal.
Was this really some kind of golden age of journalism or something else?
I think it was a bit of both, because on the one hand, yellow journalism actually brought an extraordinary amount of energy and liveliness to reporting. Mm-hmm. Visuals, interviewing people at the scene, interviewing family, experts, neighbors, even getting that kind of first-person narration by the reporters themselves. Those are all things that were really kind of pioneered in this era in a lot of ways. They took the news and they made it compelling. They actually made it entertaining. By the same token, I think the tragedy of yellow journalism is they took news and they made it an entertainment, and we've had to live with that too.
Paul Collins, our literary detective on Weekend Edition, in his new book, The Murder of the Century, The Gilded Age Crime That Scandalized a City and Sparked the Tabloid Wars. Paul, thanks so much.
Oh, thank you.